Hello, everybody, and welcome into the Apples and Genos Fantasy Hockey Podcast. My name is Nate Groot-Nibbling. I'm the creator of Apples and Genos, originator of the Zero-G Draft Strategy, and in this podcast, Blake and I are going to give you all the best streamers and ad options for next week so you can start planning early. Let's get it. Now, of course, I have your friend and my best friend, the man I could never reprehend, Blake Kramer, here with me. Blake, how are we feeling tonight?
Oh, God, I hope I never get reprehended. I actually don't know the meaning of that word, but it doesn't sound good. And, you know, I just like to keep it on good terms with us. But yeah, I feel pretty good. I got a haircut today, and that's nice. But I'm all itchy back here. All right, the little hairs and stuff. Actually, getting a haircut, it's like not one of my favorite things. Like, I hate sitting in the chair and forcing the small talk, you know, and you make that face. Like, I've talked about this face before, but I call it elevator face. Like, when you get out of an elevator and there's someone standing right there, and then you make that flat lip, like, and then you go, oh, right. That's the face I make when I'm in the barber chair and the guy's trying to talk to me. So anyways, I did that for an hour today, but yeah, I feel better and, you know, hanging on to my last few strands here until, you know, until the wheels fall off. But buddy, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm in the playoffs in my beer league, so we had that tonight. I got a goal, but we got crushed 8-4. Did not feel good, so we got to win next week or we're out. So I'm sure everybody's riveted by my beer league stories, but yeah, that's where I'm at. Feeling good about the individual performance, but the teamwork needs some help for sure.
Buddy, instead of sort of the NHL intro for these, we should get footage of you just ripping down the ice, just big clapper, top cheese. I think, yeah, let's look into that. Maybe I'll talk to someone out there and get them to film your game. I think that makes sense.
Yeah, we might be waiting a while if you're waiting for that particular clip. But yeah, we could we could definitely look into that. All right, Blake, we better not waste any more time. We need to talk about some newsies. Bring us in.
Newsies. Let's doozy. Yeah, some interesting stuff happened here tonight in tonight's games. Friday, Leo Carlson was out for this game, the Anaheim Ducks on Friday, with an upper body injury. He's day to day. So yeah, that sucks. But good news, Troy Terry returned and he picked up a couple assists, it looked like. So that's nice. He's good to go. I think we're loving Troy Terry here rest of the season. How about that late night beauty, Cam Fowler? Yeah, he was out tonight. He took a puck right in the head. You know, just at the beginning of the last game there. So he was out. So the Ducks called up Olin Zellweger and he took a spot on the power play there with the veterans and the Ducks. So that's an interesting development, I guess. You know, we also have Pavel Minchikov out there who we were hoping might, you know, take some of those minutes, but it looks like they're kind of splitting things right down the middle, which is really frustrating. And then you throw Jackson McComb in there and what the hell is going on in Anaheim? Greg Cronin, you're on notice. All right. We don't do that here. And then Mason McTavish in the Anaheim game as well. He was injured and did not return. So fun times there in Anaheim. Yeah, we got, but they pulled out the dub. Looked like a penalty shot with 2 seconds left. Jack Hughes against Lucas Dostal, and Dostal won. What's going on there? I don't know. What's your feeling on Dostal? We were just talking about him, Nate.
Yeah, I think Dostal's got a lot of potential. Still pretty young. He's only turning 24 this year. So, I mean, most goalies nowadays, it feels like they don't really break out or become anything until they're in their mid to late 20s anyway. So I think he's got every chance to prove himself. I mean, if you're asking me to project a goaltender performance, then I would decline respectfully. But I think that he's somebody that's been pretty highly touted for a while. And they've continually talked about moving on from John Gibson. So if Dostal gives them any sort of confidence that he can handle any kind of workload, I think they'd at least entertain it.
Well, next time I'd prefer if you decline disrespectfully, Nate. All right. That's, you know, let's get a little spice in the podcast. That's what we'll do next time. Yeah. Thank you. Brady Tkachuk, The Woodchuck, Kachuk, for the Ottawa Senators, was not able to finish the game on Friday after collision with mega beefer Liam O'Brien. I said that wrong. But so Kachuk has got an undisclosed injury. We don't have an update as of yet. So that really stinks if he misses any time, obviously, because they're already going to be without the services of Mr. Josh Norris. He crashed hard into the net on February 27th, and he's now on long-term injured reserve with an upper body injury. So what does this mean? It means fire up the Pinto Bean. Oh, yeah. Must roster player, Shane Pinto. What are we doing? The guy's 26% rostered, needs to be a lot more. We talked about him last week as, you know, player under the hood. The guy's looking good. And he's also, you know, what's the opposite of under the hood? Like, just the odor. How do we go with this analogy? I don't know. Under the hood is good. And also, you know, the paint job is good. I don't know. We'll workshop that. But anyways, the Pinto Bean, get him in your life ASAP. All right. Moving on. Philadelphia Flyers, Travis Konecny missed his third straight game tonight, which really sucks. But it sounds like he is likely going to return on Saturday. So fire him up there. That's excellent. Obviously, this is a major contributor to fantasy, especially in category leagues. He does it all. He's lots of shorthanded points. And, you know, he hasn't been very good on the power play this year. Neither has Philadelphia. So I think there's a little headroom there for TK. Hopefully they can get cooking on the power play. All they got to do is put Igor Zamula out there for the entire thing. Are you with me on this, Nate?
Disrespectfully, no, I'm not. I will decline.
You son of a bitch. Oh, my God. All right, I guess that's how it's going to be here on the podcast. All right, Nate's just popping off. All right, here we go. Moving over to Vegas, some good news, some really good news, actually. Jack Eichel has been skating with the team, and he shed his non-contact jersey. This happened really quick. I still thought there was a little bit of time before Jack Eichel was even close to returning. But, yeah, head coach Bruce Cassidy says he hasn't been told that Eichel isn't playing on Saturday. So, I mean, that's a good sign. I doubt that he plays on Saturday, but – yeah, I mean, he could. So just get a plan in place in case you have to drop someone, because, yeah, we'll want to get Eichel in there immediately, right? This guy's going to be an elite producer for this team moving forward. So that's great news, especially with Mark Stone out. Oh, God, Mark Stone. What the? It happened again. Mark is out for the season most likely. So, yeah, anyways, I'm sure he'll be nice and healthy for the playoffs when they come in so they can get that cap relief. Am I right, Nate?
It feels probable, I will say.
There you go. All right, a little shady. A little shady there, but that's fine. Let's talk about the Winnipeg Jets. They've got some injury issues. Got Nick Ehlers, Sean Monahan, Gabe Vilardi, and Mason Appleton. They're all going to be game-time decisions for Saturday's game. So, yeah, just you're going to have to keep an eye on the game day news in the morning there on Saturday. But Bonus did say that he's hopeful Vilardi will play. He didn't say he's hopeful that Ehlers would play. So I think, you know, that's just hurtful. You know what I mean? Like, he hopes Vilardi plays, but, you know, he probably wants Ehlers
really
to stay
care
injured. He doesn't give a crap, right? That's sort of where I'm going with that. But, oh, come on, please, Vilardi, you'll play. Ehlers, whatever, take your time. I don't know, buddy. Just put Ehlers out there for 20 minutes. Can you just do it? Just for one game. Let's see what happens. Over to the Seattle Kraken. Release the Kraken! Andrei Burakovsky is day-to-day with a lower body injury, but he's close to returning. He's going to be a game-time decision on Saturday, and I like Burakovsky. I think that this is a low-key player that he's a streamer, no question, but we know that Seattle does have a good playoff schedule in certain weeks, right? Like, if you're week 23 to 25, Seattle does have a good streaming schedule. So I like Burakovsky. I'm watching him right now to see what he does, because he does get power play deployment. He's a good offensive player with, you know, has had reasonable metrics in the past. So do you have any thoughts on Burakovsky? I feel like this is a guy, he's just been injured and he plays for Seattle, so we never talk about him. But do you have any kind of take on this player, Nate?
Yeah, I mean, anytime you can pick up a guy who has one goal in 27 games this year, I think
I think you should pick him for your streamer this week, Nate. All right.
Yeah, I can't say I'm a huge fan of Burakovsky. I'm just not a huge fan of anybody in Seattle. Overall, there's very few guys who kind of elevate beyond that situation for any continued period of time, realistically. And I think we've said this before, like Jared McCann, Vince Dunn, kind of end of list. Everybody else is a streamer.
So that's just petty, Nate. So instead of streaming and just getting some value for games, you're like, no, F that. I'm not picking up any Seattle streamers. All right. I'll take a zero. Is that what you're saying?
No, I would still stream guys from Seattle, but yeah, it's definitely like, yeah, it's McCann, it's done. And then everybody below that is like, I guess if I have to.
All right. That's fine. Burakovsky's catching strays here on the Apples and Genos Fantasy Hockey Podcast. But I'm here for you, Andre. All right. I think he gets in the lineup. We're looking at some production. Book it. Nate, your team picked up a beefer. Are you happy with this trade, Ilya Labushkin? What do you think about this trade and how are you feeling about it? And is there any fantasy relevance whatsoever with this?
I mean, you could stream him for a couple games if you needed some bangers. But yeah, I mean, Labushkin was not great his last go around in Toronto. He's bounced around the league. I think everybody knows what he is. He's like a seventh defenseman in the National Hockey League on a halfway decent team. So he's just a guy. But yeah, I mean, I guess we needed another right D and we needed somebody who banged bodies. Maybe they're looking at how Luke Shen came in last year and played pretty well, actually, alongside Morgan Riley in the playoffs. And Riley played really well in the playoffs, having that stay-at-home banger beside him. So maybe that's what they're thinking about. But yeah, I can't say I'm too excited about Labushkin.
And what a positive outlook, Nate. That's really positive thinking, and I appreciate that about you. Clayton Keller of the Arizona Coyotes missed his third straight game with an upper body injury. Still no update as to when he is going to return. So, Alex Kerfoot, get all the minutes, buddy. Yeah, that's what they're doing over there. Mr. Tarini, can you explain yourself? All right. Like, you know, you're going to have to, you know, explain this on your resume when you get fired and you have to move on. Like, I don't know where I'm going with this. But yeah, Arizona finally won one. That's nice. They picked up a dub here. So, but then anyways, that's it. That's it for the news. Oh, you know what? I did want to ask you, Nate, cause we hadn't talked about it, but Chris Tanev to the Stars, any relevance in that? Like, what do you think about the trade? Are we doing anything with it?
I don't think so. The one thing that it might do, depending how they choose to deploy Tanev, is it might push down Thomas Harley in terms of some usage. So that would be the one thing that I would be on the lookout for. I think Harley would still get second power play time, but Harley had been playing with Heiskanen on the top pair. If they decide to try Heiskanen with Tanev instead, then yeah, you could be looking at less ice time for Harley and obviously less fantasy relevance as a result.
Yep, that's a great point. All right, take it away, Nate. We got week 21. What's going on?
What's going on is on Monday, we got 6 games. On Tuesday, we got 9 games. Wednesday, 3 games. Thursday, 12 games. Friday, 4 games. Saturday, 13 games. And Sunday, we got 5 games. So in total, that's 52 games played. So pretty normal week in terms of the actual games being played. We got 6 teams with a Monday, Tuesday back-to-back to open the week. We got Boston, Chicago, Columbus, Florida, St. Louis, and Seattle. And there's a pretty good chance you're actually going to get both of those nights in, have some open spots in your lineup for both of those nights, I should say. Just because, yeah, the Tuesday is technically a heavy night, the way that we like to define it here, with the 9 games, more than half the league is playing. But there's a pretty solid chance that you got an open spot in your roster somewhere. So there's a pretty good chance that you can go Monday, Tuesday, do that little back-to-back and get a head start on your week that way. 2 teams have the Monday, Wednesday to open the week, Colorado, Toronto. So if you are full up on the Tuesday, there are a couple options there to get away from that. You got 3 teams with Wednesday, Friday off nights, Anaheim, Colorado, and Detroit. 3 teams again with Friday, Sunday off nights. That's Anaheim, Arizona, and Minnesota. So it's a pretty solid streaming week. Lots of options, a few different ways you can play it. There is no like clear best team to stream from. There's definitely, yeah, nobody's got the all 4 off nights or anything crazy like that. So you're probably looking a little bit more at picking up one guy to start the week and picking up a different guy, trading him out to kind of finish out the week. So yeah, there's definitely a lot of options. If that Monday, Tuesday back-to-back does work for you early in the week, and then you can switch over to like an Anaheim to end the week. Anaheim plays Wednesday, Friday, Sunday. So you could get 2 games, switch over to Anaheim, go Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, get 5 games out of your streamer spot with a couple of ads. That'd be a pretty solid way to run things this week. What do you think about this, Blake? And then you can take us into the worst teams to stream.
Yeah, no, I love that. I'm glad you mentioned that, because these weeks are interesting when almost every day is in play. like, yeah, you there's so many different ways you can go, but I think that's probably the way I'm going to tackle it as well. Monday, Tuesday, and then jump onto some of these off night teams to finish your back end of the week there. That's what I like to see. All right. Now let's get to the worst teams to stream or drop fringe players from these teams. Let's go. There are two teams that have particularly stinky schedules, all right? And they are the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Washington Capitals. They both play two games with zero off nights, and both those teams play the Thursday, Saturday. So you're not even going to there's no reason to hold any fringe players from these teams, in my opinion. So let's jump into Tampa Bay first. So you're looking at guys like Anthony Cirelli, right? Who is getting some reasonable deployment. He's on power play one right now, but he's not doing anything with it. So he's not really that type of player, right? And then a guy like Nick Paul, if you're rostering him, I think these guys are easy drops. I'm sure you're probably echo that, Nate, but what about guys like, and this is, you know, I'm not saying drop this, but like a guy like Hagel, and obviously he's been popping off, right? So, but in these weeks, that's just a hold and you're just taking it.
Yeah, I think you are with Hagel. I mean, he's got 6 points his last five games. He's been playing over 22 minutes a night. Like, everything's been going nuts for Hagel. I don't think you can drop that even in, yeah, I mean, it'd have to be like an eight-team league or something before I'm thinking about dropping a guy like Hagel. But yeah, everybody who you might be rostering who's not one of those top guys, Stamkos, Kucherov, Point, Hagel, Hedman, all those guys, I think you're obviously keeping. Anybody below that, you're punting them.
Hagel's a frustrating one for me, man, because he's just one of those guys, right? He doesn't show out in these metrics that we like. Like, he doesn't really shoot. He doesn't get a lot of chances. I mean, he's been getting better chances this year, I think, on the season anyway. But yeah, crazy deployment. Like, it's just a frustrating player that you're going to have to kind of sit through. But luckily, he's putting some points on the board. So I don't know. Yeah, of course, you're holding Hagel, but it's just an interesting thought. Let's move over to Washington. And yeah, you had some Washington streamers here. Well, these guys are about to go bye-bye. All right. There's, you know, guys like Tom Wilson, a couple assists tonight, by the way. That's nice. He's alive. So that's great. But I don't know. I'm definitely, you know, if it's not a bangers league, like, it's Tom Wilson is an easy drop for me. If it's bangers, yeah, you got to think about it and make sure it makes sense for your team. But you got Tom Wilson, Dylan Strome, who's, yeah, been an interesting topic of discussion in our Discord, just as kind of how we value this player moving forward. So, you know, and I'll throw Pacioretty in there as well as a player that's most likely a drop, although he's doing stuff now. What are you doing with Strome and Pacioretty in particular, Nate?
Yeah, I mean, it is kind of interesting. Like, Strome, you have to go back a while. Like, he's been on a point per game pace, like, going back well into January. I'd have to do the math to actually figure out where it goes all the way back to, but yeah, for most of 2024 calendar year, he's been on a point per game pace, which is obviously good. The last three games though, he hasn't cracked 16 minutes time on ice. He's been moved off the Ovechkin line, still on the top power play. The underlying metrics are pretty atrocious despite the production: 346th in shots per 60, 326th in on ice Corsi 4 per 60. That obviously isn't going to play forever. He's going to have to pick it up if he's going to sustain anything close to this kind of production. So there are some issues there with Strome. I mean, I'm not excited, obviously, about that kind of thing. And the thing with both Tampa and Washington, actually, is they play Thursday, Saturday. So, like, if you're thinking about, well, maybe Strome gets the deployment back and he's actually worth hanging on to for the two games, you're going to have to wait all the way to Thursday to be sure that you're actually getting him back with Ovechkin at even strength, which I don't think is a foregone conclusion, especially given the way that the game that they just played tonight here on Friday went. So yeah, there's a lot of factors there. I do think that most likely in most scenarios where you're streaming Strome, you can drop him. And then if you do really want to go back and grab him for the Thursday, if you feel like he's the key to the rest of your season, then you can do that. But I don't think you're going to miss out on him. And Strome I would place as the top guy of those three. Wilson and Pacioretty would come in behind. So basically, yeah, if I'm doing that with Strome, I'm definitely dropping the other two.
Yep, absolutely. The interesting thing with Strome is that Washington has a good playoff schedule in weeks 23 to 25 as well. So I think a lot of people are like targeting Strome a little bit. So it's going to depend where you're at too in your matchup or in your league, right? Like if you're tops in your league or you're crushing your matchup, maybe you can afford to hold on to Dylan Strome through a really crappy week, right? But I don't know. I don't think I'd be holding Strome. Like, I don't think the value is there to really hold him through that stinky week, especially with the metrics that you mentioned, but it's something to think about. Like, you got to sort of assess your team situation there. Okay. All right. The other team that has kind of a garbage schedule, it's the New York Rangers. They play two games this upcoming week with one off night. They play on the Monday. So yeah, it's a little bit better than the Tampa and Washington situation, because if you have some of these fringe guys on the Rangers, you can hold them until Monday and then you punt them, right? So, and the truth is, like, these guys aren't, you know, world beaters by any means, right? We're looking at Alexis Lafreniere, who's actually been playing pretty damn well, like 3 goals in his last 5 with decent metrics there. But, you know, it's, I don't like, you hold them till Monday and then you bounce them, right? I think that's absolutely reasonable. And then if you're holding Keandre Miller, like that's an easy drop for me too. I can't even think of anyone else who anyone would be rostering from the Rangers, unless you're in like a 16 team or 18 team or something like that. I don't know. Any thoughts on the Rangers there, Nate?
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. I have Lafreniere in Kekuffle, so 14-team league, fairly deep league. And that's a scenario in which I might consider hanging on to him, especially if he has another solid game on Monday. Maybe I'm considering hanging on to him there. Kind of obviously depends on who else I have that I can be dropping and optimizing my streaming for the week. If I don't have to drop Lafreniere, then maybe I wouldn't. In a deeper format like that. But yeah, in your standard 12 team or anything below that, you're probably dropping everybody from the Rangers. That's basically not a member of the top power play there.
Yeah, it's going to be a rough week for me in our experts league, because I've got 4 Rangers and all the best Rangers. And yeah, it's going to be a challenge to take the dub on that one, but because I'm not dropping any of those guys. But anyways, so that's it for the worst teams. We do have 5 teams that have 3 games, and they're all on the busy nights. So those teams are the LA Kings, Montreal Canadiens, New Jersey Devils, San Jose Sharks, and your Vancouver Canucks. They all play Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. You're going to have to look at your rosters and see. You might be able to get one of these players in on the Tuesday, right? Because it's that 9-game Tuesday. So I don't know. They aren't automatic drops, these fringe guys. You might be able to wait until Wednesday to do that, but you're going to have to figure it out for yourself. Okay. Now we got to move over to the best teams to stream, or as Nate fondly refers to it, as the creamiest, dreamiest streams that have ever been. Bean. Oh, God dang.
So close.
All right. Well, it's, you know, I'm doing my best. All right. That's all you can do, people. You do your best and you fail miserably. The lesson is never try. All right. Nate, you with me on this?
I don't know if I should espouse that here on the podcast.
All right. Now I'm just here to jack people up. That's all it is. Just fill them with mediocrity. All right. Okay, so we've got, like Nate said earlier, there's no real best teams to stream because this week is spread out pretty well. So the teams we're going to bring to you first are teams that actually have less off nights than some of the teams after it, but they have more games, right? So, and we're doing that again because that Tuesday is that really kind of light slash heavy Tuesday with 9 games. So anyways, the first 4 teams are going to be the Arizona Coyotes, Calgary Flames, Chicago Blackhawks, and the Toronto Maple Leafs. They all have 4 games played with 2 off nights. So let's jump into Arizona. We know these players, for the love of Pete. You know what? You got Lawson Crouse. You got Nicky Schmaltz. You got Dylan Genther, Matias Michelli, and Barrett Hayton. You know, that, like, obviously Schmaltz is your priority if you're going to go Arizona to me. I like what Dylan Genther's been doing lately. I mean, he's still on power play 1 and he's getting some reasonable deployment. Like, where are you at with the rest of these guys after Schmaltz, and how are you prioritizing them, Nate?
Yeah, it is interesting. They've come alive a little bit. The Coyotes have in the last bit, which is really surprising with Keller having been out. I was really worried that would just be an absolute death knell for any kind of offense out of Arizona, and it's not been that way whatsoever. Nick Schmaltz has really taken over as a big minute guy, and he's been able to drive a lot of play. But also, yeah, Dylan Genther has been very impressive on a on a per minute basis. He's been incredible, second in the league in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60 over the last five games. So that's obviously something that I like to see. He's still not getting a ton of ice time, like in this game that they just played against Ottawa. He only played 12 minutes, 57 seconds. Still had a goal and an assist. Like, that part's nice. But yeah, that is really tough to stomach. I mean, it's not likely to change anytime soon, right? The other one that you can look at, Matthias Michelli, 3 goals, 7 points in his last five, playing 19 minutes a night. Still not shooting a ton, 193rd in shots per 60, 209 in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60. But the on-ice numbers are all right, 66th in Corsi, 4 per 60, and 96th in scoring chances, 4 per 60. He's kind of taken over the Keller spot on the Arizona power play there. And yeah, he's been doing pretty well, getting more even strength ice time as a result. And yeah, kind of getting hot again. Now he's up to 15 goals, 59 point pace on the season. So that's another option at the very least. I can't be terribly confident in that option. But yeah, between him and Genther, it's a real interesting kind of 1-2 punch behind Nick Schmaltz as a clear lead streamer from Arizona.
What the hell was that shooting bender that Michelli went on, like, for about a month in the middle of the season? Yeah, and we both had him for that time, like, you know, and then it just fell off a cliff. He's back to being, you know, Robert Thomas Light right now. I mean, buddy, can you shoot the damn puck? That's what you do. You got to shoot. If you listen to my mom says you have to shoot the puck, right? That's good advice. So I don't know what Matthias Michelli's doing, but 7 points in five games. Yes, please. That sounds nice. All right, let's move on. We got to talk about the Flames. And we're looking at old faithful Jonathan Huberdeau. God, that 50-point wonder. He's out there. Mikhail Backlund, Igor Sharangovich, and the popsicle, Martin Pospisil. Damn, Gina. You ever watch Martin? You remember that show, Martin? I know I always praise up. Oh, God, Nate. Just... It's just, you're just killing my joy, Nate. And then that's, you know what? That's fine. I'm here for it. I have really low self-esteem, so I got to just stay here for that. I don't know. Yeah, I'm getting a little personal there. All right. but what do you think about the Flames? First off, talk to me about Huberdeau this year. What do you think we can expect from Huberdeau rest of the season here? Because he has put some points on the board, but again, it's not really equaling like what I think we should be getting from Huberdeau.
Yeah, it is tough to really figure out what's going on with Huberdeau. He had, so against Boston, against Edmonton, he had two games where he had zero shots, picked up a couple assists against Edmonton. Then he had another assist against Los Angeles in their most recent game, and he had five shots in that game. He's not taken five shots. He's not even taken four shots in the calendar year.
A quarter of the season total.
Yeah, it's a weird situation with Huberdeau. I do think, like, I mean, he's always been a great playmaker. Definitely has less of a supporting cast now than he ever had in Florida time. But yeah, there's something is up with the player. I'm just not excited. Definitely you can stream him, but realistically, what are you getting from him when you do stream him? Like, you're hoping for a couple of assists on the week. Like, it's just totally unexciting for almost every fantasy format. So I'm not excited about Huberdeau. There are some other options, obviously, in Calgary. Mikhail Backlund is starting to shoot again. Sometimes he goes on these benders where he starts to shoot a ton and he takes like six shots a game for like 2 weeks and scores six goals in 2 weeks. And you're like, oh man, Mikhail Backlund's amazing. And then it goes away again. But we could be looking at something like that. He's skating over 19 and a half minutes a night. So you like to see that as well. So that's another option. It's probably, again, probably not going to bust any doors down for you in terms of fantasy performance, but definitely another option I'd consider.
Damn, what happened to Andrew Mangiapane this year? Like, I know that was like one of our sleepers, right? Yeah. And as a guy I was in on too. And what the hell? Like, it just hasn't happened. And I feel like I don't see it happening anymore. You know, like there was a lot of hope going into this year, but it's just not a player that's been able to kind of put it all together.
Yeah. I wish I knew. I was pretty in on Mangiapane. Actually, I think he had like 2 goals in the first game of the season or something like that. And I was like,
Remember,
ah,
like,
yeah, I was
let's
so
go.
right. But yeah, it's been rough. I mean, he does have 4 points in his last 4 games here, and the shots have been okay. But yeah, it is really tough to be super excited about a guy who's 12 goals, 58 games into the season.
He's munging too much pani. All right, buddy. Come on, have a salad. All right, let's move on. Chicago Blackhawks. We have a few options. All right, and none of them are really amazing. But Seth Jones. This actually, I'm talking some yang on the Blackhawks, but Seth Jones is doing stuff. And I think this could be a viable player, for the next little bit here, as long as Chicago has a good schedule. He's getting a ton of minutes as usual. Power play stuff. I don't know. He's out there. He plays for Chicago. Enough said. You got Foligno, Kurashev, Tyler Johnson. I mean, are any of these players ringing your bell, Nate?
Foligno has been a little bit interesting as of late. He's started shooting way more like than pretty much he's ever done in his career. So that was kind of interesting for a little bit. The shots have gone away in the last little bit. He's managed to keep up. He hits and he's playing alongside Bedard. That's like as good as it gets in Chicago, right? That's about what we're looking at here. So, I mean, in a relatively deep league or a really sharp league where most of the good streamers are gone, you could look at Foligno. Yeah, if Seth Jones is out there, I'm definitely into that. Seth Jones has been pounding pucks, 27 minutes a night, 11th in shots per 60, 9th in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60. He's, might be their best player at this point for the last little bit now. So I'm into Seth Jones. I mean, you can't expect any kind of massive fantasy ceiling for anybody on Chicago, but as far as it goes, I'm into Seth Jones, definitely as a stream and potentially as a hold. So there's that. Yeah, I mean, Kurashev and Tyler Johnson are the other guys on the top power play unit. So if you're in a very deep league and pretty desperate, you can throw a dart that way. I'd be pretty happy if anything happened there. Between the two, I will say, like, Tyler Johnson actually has some decent underlying metrics. He's skating a lot less time on ice than Kurashev, but the underlying metrics are a lot better. So I might lean towards Tyler Johnson between those two. The one thing I will say, Chicago and Arizona, of all these teams with the 4 games and the 2 off nights, Chicago and Arizona are the two that play on that Tuesday. That's almost an off night. So those are the two teams you might want to be looking at if you do have that spot on the Tuesday. So that gives them probably a little bit of a boost relative to the other two here.
Yeah, love that. Good point. It's so weird, like being in a Canadian market, like I'm in Vancouver, you're in Toronto, like our teams never get so bad. Like the media, the GMs, they won't let it happen. The fans won't let it happen. We can't tank. Whereas like a team like Chicago and San Jose, this what they're rostering out there, it's embarrassing. You know what I mean? Like, how do you sell that to your fan base? Like, hey, we got Tyler Johnson out here. It's like, God, what, who? Nick Foligno is on the top line. Like, damn. And then San Jose, what the hell's going on there? I don't know. I'm digressing, but it's just like I thought of that, like Mike Greer, right off the bat, GM of San Jose, at the beginning of the year. Like, you're really selling this to your fan base? Like, okay, everybody, here we go. You got Hurdle again and Couture maybe 3 quarters away in the season if he stays healthy. I don't know. But have you ever had a team in Toronto that's been like as bad as these teams look here?
I mean, pretty close. Like the 2015-16 Leafs, the year that they got Matthews 1 overall, they were pretty bad. There's been some Twitter screenshots thrown around of what that team looked like. It was like Morgan Rielly, and then it was a whole lot of guys that most people would be like, oh, yeah, I remember that guy used to play in the league if they've been paying attention to hockey for
Now
10
he's
years or
washing
more.
cars somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. So, definitely had a rough year that year, but at least there was direction at that time, and that's what everybody was looking for. Sometimes that's the worst, is when you just feel like you're just wallowing in mediocrity year over year. So I think there is a little bit of optimism just that they're at least trying to do things right, get a franchise player and turn things around. And to their credit, they have been able to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, that's what we do over here in Vancouver. Just mediocrity. Like we had the Sedins for so long, right? So it's like you can't be a very bad team with the Sedins there, but you can not be good enough to make the playoffs. And then, yeah, now we have all the stars here, but you know, God, I don't know what's going to happen to the playoffs. They look terrible right now. Anyways, I'm digressing. Let's move on. We got to talk about the next teams here. There are two teams that have three games and they're all on the off nights. And those teams are the Anaheim Ducks and the Colorado Avalanche. So Anaheim actually plays Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. So it's a great option if you do pick up like a Monday, Tuesday team, then you can jump on an Anaheim player Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, get all those off nights. And then Colorado plays Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So they're a great way to start the week. So let's look at some of the players on those teams. Anaheim, chock full of streamers. All right. We got a bunch of guys that can do stuff, right? And starting up here with Troy Terry, this guy's got to be rostered, you know, just on the season. He needs to be rostered. Not just for this week, he needs to be rostered. I think that's a given. Mason McTavish, we'll throw him in there, but we got to check on his injury status, like what that's looking like. But, you know, if he's got a little bit of time to, you know, rest up for those games, if need be. They play again on Sunday, I think. So if he misses a Sunday, he might still be good for those games next week. So keep an eye on that. Late night beauty, Cam Fowler. Yeah, he took a puck to the dome. So I don't know. That's not good. It doesn't feel good. All right. Even if you're Cam Fowler. So yeah, he's potentially out there. Adam Henrique. Actually, Nate, can you talk to me a little bit about Adam Henrique? This is a guy that I've been seeing some stuff going on about. Like, first off, his name is in trade circles. That's for sure. Like, this is a guy that is most likely going to be moved at the deadline to a contending team. What do you think? First off, if he stays with the Ducks, what does he look like rest of the season? And if he gets moved, do you think there's some fantasy relevance here with Henrique?
I mean, I still think he's going to be more or less a streamer. Like, on the season, he's pacing for 25 goals, 58 points. To get to there, he's had to have a 70% IPP, 16.2% shooting percentage, 12% on ice shooting percentage. Those are pretty solid numbers for someone on Anaheim. Probably a little bit unsustainable. So, I mean, yeah, if he got traded to like the Leafs and he was playing left wing on the top line with Matthews and Marner, sure, I'd be interested in it at that point, right? But for the vast majority of potential landing spots, I don't think you're going to be that excited about Henrique. I mean, to his credit, like last five games, he's got 6 points here and skating 20 minutes a night. I definitely think he's a valid streamer. But the underlying metrics haven't been that great. I'm just fairly ambivalent overall on Henry.
Yeah, he's going to be one of those boring guys that maybe pops off for a little bit, and hopefully you can, you know, extract a little bit of value there. But he's out there for the Ducks, and he's doing stuff right now. He's getting a lot of minutes too, so he could be a real good stream for you for the back half of next week. And we also got Alex Killorn, Ryan Strome, and Leo Carlson, depending on his injury status as well. So keep an eye on that. But Carlson's been pretty disappointing lately. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it just came out gangbusters. They should have stuck with the plan, Pat Verbeek. I mean, play the man one game every three games and we're looking good, right? This guy's a world beater. But yeah, I think he's tired. He's fallen off. He's played a lot of hockey. And yeah, it hasn't been the same dynamic player that we've seen, but he can still do stuff. And then you got this glut of defensemen. So who would you rather? Let's do that, Nate. Would you rather Pavel Mintsyukov, Olin Zellweger, or Jackson Lacombe? How are you ranking those three young studs on Anaheim?
Well, if Fowler's back, I do think it's probable that Zellweger is the one that gets sent down again. So I would probably have to put Zellweger last just for that reason. But if he's playing, I would have him over Lacombe. Mintsyukov, I still think, kind of clears. He's played all season. He, like in this game tonight with Fowler out, he was actually used to kill penalties a fair bit. Obviously, he's going to get some power play time. The Ducks split their units a little bit more down the middle than most teams and most teams that we like for fantasy purposes. But Mintsyukov at least gets some power play time there. And yeah, I mean, with Fowler out, he's played over 20 minutes the last couple games, which is obviously a benchmark that we like to see defensemen clear. He's got 4 assists in the last 5 games. That feels all right. Underlying numbers are not terrific. I don't think you're super excited about Mintsyukov, but he's definitely the best of those three, in my opinion.
The fresh maker. And Olin Zellweger, you had me at hello. Huh? Mm-hmm. Jerry Maguire. You ever seen it?
Yep.
Yep. Okay. Oh, well, okay. Thank you. That was, I think that was in the 90s, wasn't it? The 2000s. Were you alive then, Nate? I don't know.
I was alive. Yes. Okay. I was alive for the vast majority of the 90s. So.
Okay. All right. Well, that's a start. All right. We'll start there and see where it goes. anyways, let's move on to Colorado. They've got some options, and it starts with Arturi Lehkonen. Again, a must roster player. Must roster this man. That's my two cents. I don't know where Nate's at, but this guy's still line one, power play one, for the love of Pete. Get this guy on your roster. I mean, I haven't looked up to see what he's ranked at, but if he's on this list, that means he's under 50%, and that show ain't no good. You got to get Lehkonen on your team. He does a lot of stuff. And even when Nichushkin comes back, I really do feel that Lehkonen is not going to take a big hit when Nichushkin comes back. I think it's going to be Drouin. Drouin is going to be punted. He's not going to be doing anything. And, you know, Nichushkin and Lehkonen are going to ride off into the sunset with their 20 minutes a night and their 65 point paces. It's going to be amazing. So you got to get Lehkonen on your team. My two cents on that. Ross Colton, Ross Cameo Colton. You know, I don't know what he's been doing lately, but not answering emails. We know that. Bo Byram, Jonathan Drouin, who's still getting power play one deployment. And then Zach Parise with a little nice little game here in the last one for Colorado. What do you think of these players here? Talk to me about Lehkonen first, Nate, and where you're at with him.
Yeah, I would say that I'm less confident than you are that Lehkonen maintains all this deployment with Nichushkin back. I just think they've shown a willingness to just change things up consistently. And that's the one thing that I think is consistent, is the inconsistency of the lineup in Colorado. So I'm less sure of that, but I do think that Lehkonen is a caliber of player who's going to be around, in and around Nathan MacKinnon and Mikko Rantanen enough that you're going to really want to probably hang on to him for the rest of the season. Might have some stretches where he's not performing, he's pushed down the lineup a little bit and you're unhappy and you're starting to waver, and then they'll get moved right back up and then you'll be ecstatic that he's on your team again. So I'm relatively happy to hang on to Lehkonen if he is out there. 48% rostered in Yahoo, so might be last call if he is still available in your league. I do think that at least until Drouin is back, or and Nichushkin is back, rather, I do think that Drouin can be rostered just by virtue of the fact that he's getting some good exposure. You know, it's Colorado, so they're going to play the top guys 18 plus minutes a night. So he's definitely getting enough deployment to be somewhat fantasy relevant as well. Guys below that, like Ross Colton's back down to 15 and a half minutes a night. I don't think you're realistically looking at that. Byram was hot for a minute there. Now he's cooled off, still below 19 minutes a night. I'm not that interested in that one. And then Parise had the one good game, but I do think it was probably just a one good game, and he'll fondly remember that for the rest of the season.
That's right. He's got the game puck. That's nice. Yeah. He's got it on his mantle. All right, go get Lehkonen for the love of Pete. All right, geez. All right, moving on. We got a bunch of teams here with four games and one off night. I'm just counting them in my head. There's seven of them. All right, the Boston Bruins, Columbus Blue Jackets, Edmonton Oilers, Florida Panthers, Nashville Predators, Pittsburgh Penguins, and the St. Louis Blues. Again, four games with one off night. So let's start with Boston. They got some interesting options. They're doing some stuff with their power play over there. And the big benefactor, Morgan Geeky. Nerd alert. Is that his first name, Morgan? Did I get that right? Yeah, okay, I think there's another Geeky. All right. But anyways, yeah, this guy got popped off for a hat trick the other night. So, I mean, Geeky's out there. We got Pavel Zacha and Jake DeBrusk as well. I mean, but they've got Zacha and Charlie Coyle on the second power play there. So I don't know, where are you at with Boston, and who are you picking up from these guys here?
Yeah, I mean, if I am going anybody from Boston, it's going to be Jake DeBrusk, sixth in the league in individual scoring chances, 4 for 60 over the last five games, skating almost 18 minutes a night. Obviously, if he's on the top power play, I'm going to be into that. DeBrusk has not had a terrific season by any stretch of the imagination. Definitely, I think both of us thought that he was in line for a better season after he had a pretty solid run last year and had some good underlying numbers to boot, but maybe he was just waiting this entire time to reestablish himself, and he'll be amazing for the rest of the season. Who knows? But yeah, DeBrusk, definitely the top one. And then honestly, I just want a piece of whoever else is on that top power play, or whoever else is playing with Pasternak at any given time. So that's basically how you're doing the calculus there with Boston.
There you go. That Morgan Geeky is one piece of ace. Sorry, that's from Tommy Boy. Excuse me. No, Billy Madison. I can't even get. Oh, no. The whole thing. Do you even know what Billy Madison is? Have you seen it?
Okay. Yes.
All right. That's all right. You know, I'm learning a lot about you in this episode here in particular. All right. let's move on. We got to talk about the Russian national team. I mean, the Columbus Blue Jackets. All right. They got some good streamers as they have all year, but honestly, it's a pick 'em. You know, like I've rostered every single one of these guys at some point in the year and I've dropped them just as quick. So we're talking about Kirill Marchenko, Voronkov, Igor Chinnikov. Those three guys in particular, like who are you targeting if you had to pick one of those three? Who's your guy?
I think that Marchenko is still the most talented, but he's definitely been up and down in terms of his performance this year. Definitely was hotter earlier in the year and has tailed off a bit with a few little hot stretches here and there. I do think he's the most talented there. Marchenko, then Voronkov, then Chinnikov probably. Voronkov does have some solid underlying numbers, especially lately. He's popped off for a few big games. But I mean, if you're just looking at his overall numbers and expecting them to continue, I don't think they will unless he gets more time on ice, averaging under 13 minutes for the last five games here. So that's obviously not great, but kind of being kept afloat by a 17% shooting percentage on the season. So yeah, it's tough to get excited. I mean, you got Jack Roslovic there, who's been playing with Jenner and Goudreau, both at even strength and on the top power play. He's got 5 points in his last five, skating over 18 minutes a night, 48th in shots per 60 in the last five, which is something that Jack Roslovic just does from time to time. He like just pops up and takes a bunch of shots, scores a bunch of points, and then immediately goes back into hibernation for the next 25 games. So maybe you get lucky and catch a couple games of Roslovic. I actually did stream him for, I think it was last week when they had the decent schedule, and I got a bunch of those points. So felt good about that, but it's definitely not somebody I'm excited about rest of season.
Yeah, fair enough. And then, yeah, one of the most janked haircuts in the league. You got Ivan Provorov out there as well. I don't know. I can't in good conscience roster this man. I mean, in the category league, sure, you know, because he blocks and he does that. But I don't know. I'm not too excited about anyone on Columbus, really. I guess we could talk about Alex Nylander as well. He's getting some power play one time there randomly. So I don't know. They're out there. I think there's better teams to stream from than Columbus, honestly, because if these guys are all eating into each other's value and no one's getting prioritized, and Pascal Vincent is, you know, the opposite of coach of the year. Let's go with that.
That's a fair assessment. I did actually miss Cole Sillinger in here. He had back-to-back really strong games, good underlying numbers. Not expecting it really to continue just because nothing seems to have any continuity in Columbus, but I did want to shout him out. He's had a couple of really solid games back-to-back.
Nice. I know he's a big listener of the show. Cole, thank you for your service. All right, let's move over
also
to...
Also fumbled the bag with Tate McRae. Famous for that.
Okay, yeah. Well, there you go. All right, you didn't have to call him out like that. But, all right, you know, now we're going to get an angry email, but that's fine. Moving over to Edmonton, there's really not a lot of options here. I mean, I'm going to talk about Matthias Ekholm. He's probably rostered over 50%, so you probably get him for that. But we're really looking at guys in the top six, nine. Oh, God. Warren Fogle, McLovin, and Matthias Janmark. They're really your only options. And I think, you know, if you're going to go Edmonton, Fogle is your huckleberry. But, I mean, it's not the same sweet deployment that we've been getting recently, right? Like, he's on the third line right now, I think.
Yeah, I'm pretty much uninterested until such a time as somebody's playing with McDavid or Draisaitl. So, yeah. I'm put these guys in here because I had to put some guys in here, but I'm not interested realistically.
Connor Brown breakout rest of season?
Yeah, maybe he can score a goal sometime.
That'd be nice. Connor, can you help us out? Yeah, Nate and I have an over under on one goal. All right, I took the over. All right, so can you help me out? I don't know, that's hurtful. That's just petty. I'm sorry about that, Connor. All right, let's move on. We got to talk about Florida, and we got to talk about Sam Bennett Dyson. That's your boy. All right, this man, I'm still pretty high on Sam Bennett. I mean, he's really been popping off lately with his shot production and chance generation and stuff like that, which is what we love. Holy man, I'm just looking at this right now. He's number one in the league in the last five games in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60, Sam Bennett. All right. The guy can't hit the broadside of a barn. All right, put the biscuit in the basket, Sam. But he's, you know, he's not really doing that. 2 points in the last five. But yeah, I think he's a great option there for Florida. I'm not really interested in any of their other players, to be honest. I don't know. What do you, is there anyone else on Florida that you're interested in there, Nate?
No, I think it's Bennett, end of list, in terms of Florida. Yeah, single digits across the board in terms of his ranks and all the metrics that we like to look at over the last five games. Really solid stuff, averaging over 18 and a half minutes a night as well. Yeah, you have to be excited about the seven shots, five shots, three shots, seven shots, more than one hit in each of the last five games. He's got four blocks in the last five games. All of it's really good except for the actual goal and assist production. So you have to like everything that's going on with Bennett under the hood at the moment.
Absolutely, buddy. He's beefing his brains out, and we're here for it. Let's talk about Nashville Predators. A couple options there. Gustav Nyquist, who's actually put another little point streak here together, which is nice. And then Tommy Novak, who was getting some power play one time. I don't know if he still is. What say you, Nate, on these two players?
Yeah, realistically, I'm only interested in Nyquist if he is out there. Novak, I feel like, is even bet to be off the power play, top power play by the time that you get to next week. So realistically, it's just Nyquist that I'm interested in.
Absolutely agree. Moving on to Pittsburgh, we got a strange erotic journey from Milan to Minsk. Raquel, you got to do it. Oh, but yeah, he's got that sweet power play one deployment, but their power play stinks. So that's a problem, Ricard, but, yeah, he's out there. Riley Smith is on power play too. How about the diaper, Valtteri Puustinen? Are we doing anything with this player, Nate?
I mean, he's 21st in shots per 60 over the last five games. So I did want to shout him out just for that. He has looked solid at different times. So it's a player that I would pick up if, you know, like if he gets on Crosby line at even strength plus gets on top power play, which I mean, he's been moved around in a few different spots this year. So it's not something I'm ruling out, but just a player I wanted to highlight because the underlying metrics look pretty good.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, to me too, Raquel, he's as close to the must roster player as there is right now with Rust out. I mean, he's good to go. I think that power play, I mean, it should be better, right? But it just hasn't been. I think it's allegedly. I think it's fourth worst in the league right now, and that's just not where I saw it going this year. But Raquel's on it, and he's with Crosby, and maybe they'll put Malkin back on the top power play at some point. That seems to, you know, he's kind of good offensively, so maybe you should do that. I don't know. Anyways, let's move on to the last team here, St. Louis Blues. We're looking at Braden Schenn, Colton Parayko, Torrence Krug, and hey, neighbor, Jake Neighbors. What say you, Nate? Who are you interested in any of these studs?
I have passing interest in Braden Schenn, especially in any kind of deeper format or bangers format. He's definitely never going to wow you in terms of the shot production or on-ice numbers or any of that, but he is somebody who can get hot as a streamer. So I have some passing interest there. Colton Parayko, 22nd in shots per 60 amongst all defensemen the last five games. Only one assist to show for it, but skating 24 and a half minutes a night. That part's okay. And then Torrey Krug, you know, he's going to have stretches. He's a little bit like, I talk about this a lot with Shane Gostisbehere, right? Like these power play specialist kind of players, like they'll have weeks where they score 5 points and they'll have weeks where they score 0 points. And you just got to kind of take the good with the bad. And you can hope for a good week from Torrey Krug. Jake Neighbors, 0 points in his last five, but he is on the top power play, 25th in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60 over those five games. So he is popping a little bit in terms of the underlying metrics, but yeah, it's probably a deeper league play there for sure.
You know who looked good on that top power play? Jakub Vrana. what happened to our boy? I think we both projected him for like a bunch of goals. What the hell? This is terrible. All right. I don't even know why I brought that up. Why the hell am I bringing that up? We'll edit that out, right, Nate?
In post.
Yeah, in post. All right. Not pre. Post. Okay, that's the opposite of pre. All right, and Nate, I want you to give me one player from each of these teams. All right, we've got three teams that play three games and two off nights. They are the Detroit Red Wings, Minnesota Wild, and the Seattle Kraken. And I will say that the Seattle Kraken, they have the back-to-back to start the week. So they kind of have three off nights potentially, right? Because they play Monday, Tuesday, and then they play the four game Friday. So you could technically get all three games in for the Seattle players. So anyways, just want to put that out there. But for Detroit, who are you rocking with, Nate?
Yeah, I think it'll be David Perron. I'm not excited about anybody really with Detroit, but he's got 4 assists his last 5 games. Underlying metrics are okay. Not getting a ton of deployment, but realistically, none of the sub 50% roster guys in Detroit are, so I'll stick with Perron.
Buddy, when you have a chance to take the slinky, you take the slinky. Daniel Sprong, buddy. You're wrong here on this one, Nate. All right. Yeah, that's, well, whatever. All right, Minnesota, who's your Huckleberry?
It is kind of difficult to suss out who you really want to roster after the top guys in Minnesota as well. Realistically, I just kind of go and figure out who's playing with Zuccarello on the second line. Right now, that's Rossi, so that's probably the way that I'll lean.
There you go. Okay. I like Rossi. I think he's got some bits and pieces. And then Seattle, who I do think is actually viable this week. Who, if you had to pick one Seattle player of the stream team, who are you taking?
Yeah, I think it's got to be Jordan Eberle. He's got 4 goals, 5 points in his last 5, skating 16 minutes a night, which is about as good as you can expect from anybody over there in Seattle. Underlying numbers are good, not great. So I think Eberle is probably your guy.
There you go. Nate, take us into the best players to stream for this upcoming week.
Before I do that, actually, I do want to mention, I don't know, maybe I just totally glossed over this mentally, but did we talk about Toronto? They do have 4 games, 2 off nights. And I don't remember speaking on Toronto. Maybe you just ran through that and I totally blanked for a few minutes.
No, I missed it. All right. So we got to get into Toronto. All right. Of course, you would remember Toronto. All right.
I have to.
Yeah, that is a great point, Nate, because Toronto does have 4 games with 2 off nights. So talk to me about your Leafs and who you're going to be streaming from this team.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if Tyler Bertuzzi's still out there, 5 goals, 6 points his last 5, playing on the top power play in place of John Tavares right now. Right now, that's definitely number one with a bullet in terms of anybody you'd be picking up from Toronto. Max Domi and Matthew Nyes are the other guys you could consider. Max Domi is going through a stretch here where he's actually got some halfway decent underlying numbers, 47th in shots per 60, 41st in on-ice scoring chances for per 60. So it's probably Domi as the second option in Toronto.
Just an oversight on my part, Nate. What the hell? I mean, again, editing. We'll edit it out in post. All right. That's what we do.
Or pre. One or the other.
Yeah, that's right. Just take me out of the equation entirely. Re-record the episode. I think that's probably.
All right. Let's talk about the best players to stream ranked. So 1 through 10. I did assume that you would be able to fit a player in on the Tuesday quote unquote heavy night. So basically it's all the players who play 2 off nights plus the Tuesday heavy night or just 3 off nights altogether. So Anaheim, Colorado with the 3 off nights and then Arizona and Chicago with the 2 off nights, but also the Tuesday. So from those teams, I've got at the top here, it's got to be Troy Terry. Got to go with my boy there. Arturi Lekkonen will be number 2 for me. Then Nick Schmaltz. Then Mason McTavish, obviously, assuming that he does return from the injury sustained tonight and it's nothing too serious. Matias Michelli and Dylan Genther, kind of back-to-back here. We kind of went through that already as well. Jonathan Drouin, I'll still hold up here until Nichushkin's back. Nick Foligno, have some love there. And then the 2 defensemen, Seth Jones and Pavel Minchikov at the bottom. What's the most egregious ranking on this list, Blake?
Egregious? I don't know. Anytime Nick Foligno's on a best player to stream list, I mean, I don't hate the man. He's great. I mean, I love that he's there with Bedard, but I mean, damn. I might kick tires on Bertuzzi this week, but again, you might only get him in for 2 of the 4 games, so that's probably why he's not on the list.
Yeah, if you can fit him in for more, if you've got open spots on Thursday and Saturday, then definitely he would make the list and be pretty high up. Let's move over to the best players for hits and blocks. So for hits, you got, I should kick this over to you, Blake. Who's the number one hits player?
McBain. Let's get silly.
All right. Jack McBain, he's been hitting the lights out lately. So definitely worth checking out if you need some hits. He does that. Josh Manson, Matt Dumba, Lawson Crouse, Nick Foligno, and Max Jones are the other top options for hits. For blocks, you got Dumba on the list again. Actually, Dumba has really stepped up in terms of The hits and blocks as of late. I've picked him up in the Apples and Geno's Patron League, which is the Bangers Cats League. And I like basically have just kind of ended up hanging on to him because he's just been banging the lights out every single game. Giggity. But Jacob Megna, number two. Alex Vlasic from Chicago there. Alex Kerfoot actually doing some blocking, which is kind of interesting. He's been getting tons of minutes, so he's out there. So he's getting in the way of some pucks, I guess. And then Josh Manson rounds out the blocks. What do you think, Blake? Anybody here that you would actually specifically target in a Bangers Cats?
Just beautiful beefcakes all around. I love me some Jack McBain. I had him in my Bangers League when he was actually popping off with points. I think he got a hat trick or something like that. Oh, that was the best. That's peak Jack McBain right there. So he could do it again, folks. All right. Don't quote me on that.
All right, we won't, but we will get into the best players to add for the future. I mean, we're getting to the end of the season. Realistically, if you're looking for rest of season holds, you're also kind of just looking at the next couple weeks. So we are where we are in the season, but I will go through the list of guys that I think should be rostered in more leagues. Quentin Byfield, 48%. I want to highlight Byfield just because he's been getting a ton of minutes as of late. He's been over 20 minutes in three of the last four games, including 22:49 in the 5-1 win against Vancouver. Wow. Yep. So that's obviously all systems go for Quentin Byfield. He should absolutely be rostered in far more leagues. And I kind of feel like they're just going to run him at this point with Kempe out. Feels like that deployment is a little bit more here to stay. He's producing right now, so I feel like they're just going to run him at least until the production starts to taper off. Troy Terry, got to go with my boy there at number two. Arturi Lehkonen, kind of mirroring what I've got there for the best players for the streaming for the week. And then, yeah, it gets into the weeds here a little bit, but you got Raquel, you got Dylan Strome, you got Nick Schmaltz, you got Gabriel Vilardi, you got Wyatt Johnston, who's been producing even from the third line. Second power play there, and then even beyond those guys, like there's other guys that I definitely have more than passing interest in. Slavkovsky, Bennett, Lafreniere, Pinto, obviously, especially now with the Norris news. Honestly, it might be even higher on this list for a lot of people. So a lot of guys there. Who are you specifically targeting the most from this list, Blake? Anybody that you would rank higher?
Maybe not higher. I'm super high on Dylan Strome. Like I'm just not, but it makes sense having him on the list here. I do still like Wyatt Johnston a lot. I like Sam Bennett and I like Pinto. And also I was just looking here. I think Tarasenko warrants a conversation, maybe in that ninth spot with those other guys, like just because he's doing stuff with Ottawa right now. And I think he's a good candidate to be moved at the trade deadline to maybe a situation where he can pop off a little more offensively, maybe get some number one power play time. Who the hell knows? But yeah, he's a guy that can do stuff and has done stuff historically. So I don't know. Keep an eye on Tarasenko.
Good shout there. Let's go to the sub 20% rostered players. So over here, I wanted to highlight Max Pacioretty. We talked about Pacioretty. I forget if it was the flagship show or the waiver show last week, probably the waiver show. Yeah. But he's still not getting a ton of minutes, but it has crept up a little bit and he's been producing as of late. I feel like the minutes have got to come up here. They definitely need his offense. So I feel like he's got to get a little bit more minutes there. So I do like Pacioretty a fair bit. Tyson Forster has kind of really taken advantage of a little bit of a situation here with, you know, connect me out and stuff. And yeah, he's got a couple of games here over 20 minutes, another one over 19 minutes. He's scored four goals in four games, adding an assist. He's been doing the thing. This last game against Washington, he did have zero shots, so something to watch moving forward, and we all know Tortorella likes to move guys around, so take that with a grain of salt, but I think Forster, at this point in the season, he's had a couple of these runs, and that's really what I'm looking for in a young player like this, is does he have the ability to go on runs like this, where he is shooting, where he is scoring, and Forster has shown that to me so far this year. Sub 10% rostered, obviously, Foligno we talked about, yeah, T.S. Michelli we talked about, Dylan Genther we talked about, all of these guys I have some interest in. Genther, I would say if Genther actually did get a lot more minutes, like if he was getting the Schmaltz treatment up there at 20 minutes a night, then I think there's a solid chance that Genther could really actually pop for some decent fantasy production rest of season. As it is, it's hard to get excited about the 13, 14, 15 minute a night treatment, but yeah, definitely a player that I'm watching pretty closely at this point. Any thoughts on the lower roster players, Blake?
Yeah, no, it's a great list. You know, just a guy I was looking up here recently, the last couple of days, Mikael Granlund, 12% roster. This guy can actually do some stuff, and it's on the back of insane deployment. Like in the last game, he played 25 and a half minutes, 3 assists. Yes. Like they don't have anybody else. So, I mean, I think you could do a lot worse than Mikael Granlund. Like if he's out there at 12%, like, yeah, it's slim pickings, right? There's many guys ahead of him, but that's just a guy that should be on your on your watch list, right?
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. Let's move on to defense. So Seth Jones dipping below 50% rostered at 49%. So he makes the top of this list with a bullet. He's miles ahead of the other guys on this list, in my opinion. Cam Fowler still on the list. Colton Parayko, Torrey Krug, who we touched on with St. Louis. And then I have added Pavel Minchikov at the bottom. You know, obviously these last two games where he's gotten over 20 minutes, it has been largely because of Fowler being out. But I mean, at some point, I feel like they got to give this guy some run. Like, why would you just continue running out Radko Gudas a bunch, right? Like,
yeah, he's
let's
getting
see
a ton
what
of
Minchikov
minutes.
Can do.
Yeah, so, no, I'm with it.
Let's see what Minchikov can do. Hopefully the 20 plus minute a night treatment continues. Minchikov is my sub 20% rostered player. I actually looked for another one to try to add just to have another player to talk about, and it is sparse down there. So yep. I will just continue on with Minchikov as my sub 20% rostered guy. Sub 10%, I'm going to throw Cam York in here. I mean, you're not going to be too excited about any of the defensemen that are under 10% rostered, but York does have 3 points his last three games. Here he's been the lowest he skated in any of those three games was 22 minutes 35 seconds. He's had 6 shots, he's had 5 hits, he's had 7 blocks in these three games. He's had a nice little run the last three games is basically what I'm saying, which is more than you can say for pretty much any other defenseman 10% rostered or less. Any thoughts on Minty or Cam York, Blake?
Yeah, I picked up Minty in a couple spots just for the Friday, Sunday here. So I'm hoping he just gets more run, like you said. But who knows what the hell they're doing there. Greg Cronin. Oh, God. He's Pascal Vincent Light, I think. That's the situation there. But yeah, no, this is slim pickings. That's for damn sure.
All right. Over to goalie. I still like Samuel Ersson a fair bit. I think Philadelphia is just a decent enough team. And realistically, the Flyers do not have another NHL goaltender on the roster. So I think Ersson is going to play a ton. I mean, it's kind of a funny time to be talking about it after he allowed, 4 goals on like 20 shots
five.
Or something.
Yeah, 5. Oh, is it an empty netter? Yeah.
So yeah, it wasn't a great outing for Ersson, but I try not to get too attached to individual outings. Okay, so it was 5 goals on, and he made 16 saves. So 5 goals on 21 shots, not a great outing for Samuel Ersson. It was a better outing for the next guy on the list, Charlie Lindgren. Who allowed only 2 goals on 23 shots and got the dub there for the Washington Capitals. He's my next one at 35% rostered. You could swap these two guys and I wouldn't feel too badly about it. Lindgren has been getting a lot more run than Kemper as of late. He's turning into more than just a 1A at this point over the last few games. So interested in what they'll do. Like he had that terrible outing where he allowed 8 goals against Detroit and they just went right back to him in the next game and he came back with a good game. So that's a big vote of confidence in my mind. And yeah, definitely a player that I'd be pretty interested in picking up for the rest of the season. Philip Grubauer has kind of taken over the Seattle net as of late, so he kind of makes this list. Have to talk about him here for sure. Yeah, breaking the hearts of all of us Joey Decord 0G rosterers, but you have to take into account what Grubauer's been able to do. He's been very solid in each of the last 4 games that he's played. He's only allowed 6 goals in that span, made a bunch of saves, highlighted with that 2-0 shutout win, 33 save win over Pittsburgh the other night. So yeah, Grubauer, I definitely think you should be rostering him in any deeper formats. you might have some bones to pick with that, Blake. But yeah, if anybody's getting this kind of usage and is playing well at the moment, I'm happy to roster them. I'm very agnostic with my goalie skill takes, as you may know. So Grubauer is somebody I would absolutely consider picking up right now. And I've already dropped Joey Decord where I had him. So if you're wondering if you should drop Joey Decord, I think the answer to that question is unequivocally yes. And then lastly here, sub 25% rostered, I've got Elvis Merzlikins at 23%, same as Grubauer, actually. He had a couple of nice games back-to-back against the New York Rangers. Do think there's still a, I don't know if it's a probable scenario, but a pretty good chance that he gets moved to a contender at the deadline, in which case I think any team that's moving for a goaltender with actually some term and some contract, they're looking at this guy as a potential beyond this season starter. They want to make him into at least a 1A, if not a full-time starter. So if he does get moved, I think he would have a lot of value potentially, depending on where he went. Even if he doesn't, I think that Merzlikins is rosterable in a lot of formats just by virtue of making a lot of saves. So Merzlikins will be my guy there. What do you think, Blake? You want to tear me to pieces on Grubauer?
No way, buddy. I mean, you got to do it, right? Like, I dropped the cord in three spots. I mean, it pisses me off, but yeah, I mean, thank you for your service. That's what zero G is. It's like, okay, this guy's not getting starts anymore. Like, I literally picked up Charlie Lindgren in two spots for Joey Decord and Connor Ingram in one spot. So it's not terrible. You know what I mean? Like, you just roll with the punches, right? And that's what we do. I do like Merzlikins. I think that's a good stash play right there, because if he does get traded, great. If not, like you said, he's still going to have some value.
For sure. All right. We need to get over into the head-to-head streamer deathmatch. And it's a 9-9 tie for those keeping score at home. And this week, I have Dylan Strome. And this week, Blake has Wyatt Johnson. And Blake was crowing. He was sending me texts about how great Wyatt Johnson was doing this week.
I was just echoing what you said. Yeah, basically, I was just repeating what you said to me. So that's where I'm at.
And to be fair, Wyatt Johnson has had a pretty solid week. He's got three assists in the three games. He's had 11 shots, 15.25 couple points so far. But Dylan Strome with a massive game tonight, goal and two assists. He's got 16 kickoffle points, which, if you're keeping score at home, is 0.75 more kickoffle points than Wyatt Johnston through three games. Both players have one more game to go, so we will reconvene on Sunday to crown me the winner after Dylan Strome wipes the floor with Wyatt Johnston. We also need to make some picks for next week, Blake. So have you come to a decision? Who will be your head-to-head streamer deathmatch streamer of the week for week 21?
You bet, buddy. I got to go with Mega Beefer, Super Viking, Sam Bennett Dyson. Let's go. I'm taking Sam Bennett. I've got him in three spots here, so it's just easier for me to cheer for one guy who I already have on my teams. Plus, the metrics, Nate, right? The metrics.
He is showing out in the metrics, that's for sure. I think it is a difficult spot. I've gone to Nick Schmaltz, and he's burned me in the past, and that's making me a little gun shy, even with this this latest stretch of solid play. I was talking about it actually earlier with you. I do think Ricard Raquel has pop-off potential. If, you know, if the power play works even for a couple games, then Raquel could really pop off. Obviously, anybody playing with Crosby has that within them. You know what I'm going to do, though? I'm going to go with my hometown team here. I'm going to go with my guy, Tyler/Todd Bertuzzi. That's what I'm going to do for this week. I'm going to beat you with the Toronto Maple Leaf, and you'll just have to deal with it.
That's fine. I was going to take him, you know, but you kind of mind, you know, messed me up here, buddy, because I was talking about him earlier, like, he's going to fall off, no problem. I'm like, I guess he's going to fall off. I don't know. You're playing mind games. Get out of my head, Nate.
All right. Well, I will get out of your head, because that is all we've got for this episode. Hopefully it brought you some value, helped you get a little bit better at fantasy hockey today. Not you, Blake, the listeners. The advanced stats.
I can't get any better.
That was good. All right. All the advanced stats you heard today came from Natural Stat Trick, a terrific free resource. Many thanks to the band there for supplying the music for the podcast. Be sure to check out their Spotify as well. And that's it, folks. Much love.